I grew up in a large family in Alabama. I grew up in a religious household. My dad kept close tabs on his children, especially the girls. It was a rare occasion that we were allowed to spend the night away from home. We went to Sunday school on Sundays and attended church services afterwards. In fact, the minister would pick us up on Sunday mornings and take us to church. Although we hated going with him because he was a terrible driver. After he ran off the road with us in the car, my mother made certain that we got to church some other way. I was about 10 years old when I accepted Christ, and I was baptized in the Coosa River. When I was 12, I went to live with my aunt and uncle, who had no children, in the northern part of Alabama. She was a school teacher, and he was a minister. They were as strict as my parents. I returned home after living with them for 1 year because I was so homesick. I went to live with them again my senior year of high school, and during this time, I applied and was accepted to several colleges. My aunt wanted me to attend a local junior college for 2 years and then go away to a four-year college, but I opted to go away. My freshman year there, I fell under the influence of people who weren't so serious about getting an education as they were with partying. I almost got suspended my second semester for being off campus past curfew. My grades were suffering. Those subjects I liked, I did well in. Those I didn't particularly care for, like history, I didn't do so well. Although I was an A student in high school. When my aunt got my grades, she told me that she could not help me pay for my college anymore. My parents could not afford to pay for my expenses, so that summer I came to Chicago to work and to return to college in the fall. Needless to say, I never returned. I got married and had a family. During this period in my life, I had placed God somewhere in the back of my mind and was living for myself. I did not attend church, and I always felt guilty about that. But I did continue to send money to my church back home. Along the way, I got my associate's degree. After Justin was born, the Lord led me to the Reeds. I started attending Tabernacle sporadically and also tried to find a church home in Elgin. That did not work out too well, so I continued to attend Tabernacle on a regular basis. During this time, my best friend professed salvation and joined Bethel. She was actively involved in the ministry at Bethel and was always at church. She had made a complete change in her life and had a new peace about herself that I longed for. I may have relegated God to some obscure corner of my mind, but he did not forget me. When I decided to continue my education, the Lord led me to Judson College, now Judson University. One of the requirements is that you have to take the Old and New Testament classes, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And I started thinking about attending church again. In 1993, Mike began to have serious health problems. His kidneys were failing, and he was starting to lose his sight. Every week, we spent time in the emergency room at Humana at that time or at Elixion Brothers. Mike would have fluid buildup and could not breathe. Usually, this happened in the early morning hours. I would put Nick and Justin in the back seat and Mike in the front seat, and off to the emergency room we would go. This was got to be like a second home to them and me. In 1994, he was hospitalized at Elixion Brothers, where he was in ICU. He himself told the nurse that he was going into a coma. She did not believe him. They called me that same day and told me that he had gone into a coma. I was at his bedside every day, except for maybe one or two times when I was so worn out, I couldn't force myself to go. I was working a full-time job in Chicago, At these times, Eric went. I had no one to lean on but the Lord. During this time, I prayed constantly and shed many tears. His heart actually stopped beating, and they revived him and put him on a ventilator. His three specialists told me that he would not survive, and if he did, he would be a vegetable. They tried to convince me to take him off the ventilator. I told them no, that the Lord was in control and that he would come out of this. His doctor told me that he would do all in his power to see that he continued to receive the treatment he had always given him. My faith has never been so strong as it was at this time. Whenever the doctors talked to me about his health deteriorating, I let them know in no uncertain terms that he would be all right. They would give me this patronizing and sympathetic look. I would pray, Lord, you said if you ask anything in your name, you would give it. If you ask, it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. I took to reading my Bible again. Every opportunity I had to pray, I prayed at work, at home, in the car, in the bathroom, in the hospital waiting room, by his bedside. I was truly broken. I never gave up on him, and his doctor never gave up on him, and certainly the Lord never gave up on him or me. I'm a living witness, and also my son Mike, that the Lord answers prayer. The Lord answered prayer on a Sunday in December. As I stood by his bed and prayed, I saw a slight movement in his toes. I was so elated that I called the nurse. She said it was just a reflex and left the room. I kept praying and watching, and then his whole foot moved. This time I went and got the nurse, and by the time she got there, his hands were moving towards his face and he was trying to take off the ventilator. In hindsight, I see that the Lord was using everything that happened to lead me back to himself. I rededicated my life and joined Tabernacle about 14 years ago. I try to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Today I can claim this verse, Psalm 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Brand. Thank you so much.